Glory to the holy, consubstantial, life-giving, and undivided Trinity, always, now, and forever, into the ages of ages.
Amen. What we just heard was that imperial and or, you know, national service. During Lent, during Holy Week, you will notice that happening in the evening services. And there will be a couple of psalms read before that, 19 and 20, and they talk about it's a prayer that the Lord strengthen the king, okay, if you remember that. So now we're going into the matins proper, and the first thing is the six psalms. The appropriate position during the six psalm is to stand, and to stand with absolutely no movement, and some rubrics even say not even to do your cross. There's a very profound period. The religious folklore is that at the second coming, the judgment of the whole world will take only as long as it takes to read the six psalms. If you read them fast or if you read them slow, I don't know. But anyway, so now Carol will read four out of the six psalms. We just need to cut it a little bit so that we can get everything in. But this will be our first read. So the appropriate stance is to stand and very attentively.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. O Lord, you shall open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise.
So that was our first reading, pray, sing. Okay? We had the six psalms, we had the long litany, and we had this God is the Lord. The next section is called the Kathismata, and strictly speaking, there should be another set of psalms read. Then will be the litany, and then we will sing the first Kathismata. Then there's a second set of psalms read, another litany, another sing, and then there's another Psalm 118, which is very long, and it's followed by singing. In the parish, however, we don't read those additional sets of psalms, and so we've just clustered all that singing together, and it's called Kathisma 1, Kathisma 2, and the Obligataria. So that cycle of read, pray, sing is not as evident, you know, as it would be in a fuller service. So now you can sit during this period, and we will do the litany short, we will do the Kathismata, and we will do the Obligataria, which are all about the resurrection today. The next section is called the Antiphons. The Antiphons were written by St. Theodore the Studite. They aren't, in their subject matter, they aren't really resurrectional, but they are done on Sundays. And I think I've mentioned this before, that St. Theodore was in Constantinople, he lived in the 9th century. He was in the marketplace, whatever. He saw a lady's skirt like come up a little bit, and it started thoughts in his mind, and so he said, you know what, I'm going to write me a bunch of hymns that talk about virtue. That's what I'm going to do. And he actually wrote them for his brother, who was St. Theodore, bishop at that time in Thessaloniki. So in some of the hymns, he's actually addressing his brother. If you didn't know that, you'd be wondering, what's he doing? So there's a history to all these, you know. So before we start singing, there's a little thing that we read. It's called the Ipakoi. Ipakoi means obedience, but it also means listening and hearing. So we're just going to read that. And that is about the resurrection. Then we have the Antiphons, which will extol virtue, and they're based on themes from Psalms. Another time we can talk about that. And always the third one in each set will be to the Holy Spirit and to the Holy Trinity. The next thing on your paper is called the Kondakion. Kondakion ikos. They go together. Very old kind of ecclesiastical poetry that was made popular by St. Romanos the Melodist. The only Kondakion that we really experience in its fullest anymore is the so-called Akathist hymn, where it says, rejoice, 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 rejoice. Okay, it's a very long poem. And that used to be the main content of Matins was the Kondakion in its long form. Centuries later, it was superseded by the so-called canon and other parts. And so the Kondakion was reduced to just one or two little parts of it. So we have this sort of remnant and relic of other poetry. Now this will be about the resurrection. And it is followed by the so-called Synaxarion. The Synaxarion, Synaxis in Greek means convocation or a meeting. Okay? And so the reason for the meeting on any day, and the reason for come together is because it's a feast day or a commemoration. Of course, it's Sunday. But this, the Synaxarion, is based on the calendar. So our little calendar cycle of the date today, October 19th, is only expressed today in this one point, but it is here. And this is where we list and we commemorate the known saints or the saints that are part of our calendar. And during the Synaxarion, it is appropriate to stand in honor of those saints. And then we can sit after the Synaxarion. So, Dennis, will you read the Condacion Icos?
He rose from the tomb, O Savior. All powerful in Hades beheld the marvel and was struck with fear, and the dead were rising up, and creation beholds and rejoices with you, and Adam is exultant, O my Savior, and the world ever sings your praise.
And the world ever sings your praise.
You are the light of those in darkness. You are the resurrection of all and the life of all mortals. And with yourself you resurrected everyone, O Savior, despoiling the dominion of death and smashing the gates of Hades, O Word. The mortals, beholding the miracle, marveled, and all creation rejoices of your resurrection, O lover of mankind. Therefore we all glorify and extol your condescension. O my Savior, and the world ever sings your praise.
O my Savior, and the world ever sings your praise.
So you might ask, why did the other choir repeat that last line? I can't tell you why, but it is a condacion. And if you remember from the Friday nights of Lent, when the priests come out here and they read the little poem in front of the Theotokos, and then they say, "Rejoice, unwedded bride," and the choir sing, "Rejoice." Okay, so it's that repeating of that last, the refrain, which is peculiar to the condacion. And so we did that in a sort of shortened version. So when you hear that happen, you say, condacion, it's a condacion. And it means it's almost time to stand. So now we stand. Dennis, you want to read this next item?
On October 19th, we commemorate the holy prophet Joel. On this day, we also commemorate the holy martyr Varus and those with him. On this day, we also commemorate the holy martyr Sadoth and the 120 martyrs with him who died in Persia. Saint Leo the philosopher reposed in peace. Saint Felix the priest and Saint Eusebius the deacon died by the sword. Our devout father Saint John the wonder worker, who lived as an ascetic on Mount Rila and built a monastery there, reposed in peace. By the intercessions of your saints, O God, have mercy on us. Amen.
And now we will sing what's called the Katavasias. Have a seat. The Katavasias are a part of a larger ecclesiastical poem called the Canon. And in the parish, for the most part, we only sing the Katavasias. I can go through the rules of the canon another time. The Katavasias will not be about the resurrection. They will be about the festal period that we are approaching or that we are in. Or if we're not in one of those periods, by default, it will be the Katavasias of the Theotokos, which are these. Okay, so you'll hear these most of the time. As we approach the next great feast, will be the entry of the Theotokos. We will sing Katavasias that will reference that feast. After that, starting on November 21st, we'll start singing the Katavasias of Christmas. So for a month and a half, we'll be singing, Christmas hymns, either in anticipation or, in commemoration after, and so forth. So the Katavasias will give you an idea of what festal period or no festal period we're in. Currently, we are not in any particular festival period. We sing the Katavasias to the Theotokos. So the next section now will be the Sunday Matins Gospel. Not all Matin services have Gospels. If it's a festal Matins for a saint or a feast, it will have a Gospel reading, and certainly every Sunday morning has a Gospel reading. The Gospel reading on Matins on Sunday is part of the 11-week Matins thing. There were 11 passages in the four Gospels that were sort of lifted out and said, this is a scene after the resurrection. This is another scene after the resurrection. Why not 12? I don't know. There were 11. Some of them are kind of long. You'd think they could make them into two. But anyway. So the 11 passages were taken out, and then later on in the Matins service there will be another set of hymns related to this cycle that will take the theme in some special theological issue of the gospel reading that we will hear now, and they will elucidate it. And I'll point that out. But just remember now, here's the gospel reading. This happens to be number 8. Okay? 8 out of 11. So try to remember what you hear here, and then it will be commented on a little bit later, and I'll point it out. After the reading of the gospel, we will kiss the gospel. We only do that on Sundays. And consider that like an extra blessing to be able to kiss the gospel. You were here early enough to do that. In some places, in some parishes, they will take that gospel book and place it outside on a stand, and people can kiss it if they come in late. You know, they can kiss it, and another gospel book will be used for the liturgy. Also, yes. Oh, the gospel reading is read from inside the altar on Sundays as a kind of an imitation of being in the tomb. Okay, and then the gospel is being, you know, about the resurrection is being proclaimed, but from inside the tomb of Christ. And that may be reminiscent of the practice at the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, where they actually do liturgies in the tomb. So we have our own little imitation of that. This next section is called the Magnificat. I have been observing the congregation for years now, and I've been waiting for years to make this comment. When do we stand and why do we stand? Okay? It's not because we hear a jiggling of the censer. It's not because the deacon is or the priest is coming out. It's not because Tina stands and we know that, you know, when she stands. So we want to go to the real reason, the reason why they're doing those things, the reason there is incense, the reason the priest or the deacon is coming out. The reason, in this case, is the Magnificat. It's the little poem that we're going to sing now in honor of the Theotokos. So in honor of the Theotokos, we're going to stand from the very beginning, before the deacon makes his way out. When he says his next line, which is going to announce that we're going to sing praises and hymns to the Theotokos, boom, everybody stand up in honor of the Theotokos. Now, when the deacon or the priest come by with incense, you know, you're going to have your moment with them where you can, you know, accept the incense and the blessing. But then, you know, he's going to go down and sense everybody else, and they're going to have their moment. The big stuff is happening up here. First of all, the choir's up here. Second of all, in the altar is the, you know, the altar table. The icons are here. So our main attention should be this way. So let the deacon or the priest go down and have their moment, you know, with the people behind us. But we don't need to be doing one of these, you know. The main stuff's happening up here. Or close your eyes and pay attention to what's being said, okay? You can look, but I'm just saying, the main stuff is happening here. So as soon as we hear the deacon say something about the Theotokos, everybody stand. Be seated. So that's the last time we'll see the deacon during the matin service. The rest now is going to be chanting all the way through, but of course I'm going to stop and make some explanations. Every time the deacon comes out and says that short litany, which he just did, let us again pray to the Lord, you know, calling to remembrance our most holy Theotokos, all that, his part is the same, but you can pay attention to what the priest says, because all those so-called exclamations at the end of those short litanies, they're all different. They're never twice the same in one service, okay? So that's something you can pay attention to and see, you know, did you catch it? So now we're going into the section called the ex apostilaria. We use these Greek names, ex apostilarium. I think maybe I've explained what ex apostilaria means. Let's just say it's a set of hymns. And now these are the ones that are going to comment on Sundays. It's going to comment on the Bible reading that we heard just a few minutes ago. Try to recall what that theme was, and if you don't, you might get it from what we sing, but it's going to comment on some particular theme of that. And this hymn was written, this one and one towards the end, are written by a father-son emperor team, Leo and Constantine, lived in the 10th century, Byzantine emperors, and they're not included in the list of saints, but they were pious, theologically trained writers and poets, among other things, and so they wrote these hymns that kind of, you know, go together. And we keep singing them year after year, day after day, week after week. So that's what we're going to sing now, the ex apostilaria. Two things now. You probably noticed that both hymns that we sang were exactly the same melody. Okay, so as poets, these poets wrote according to a set, a fixed meter. There's a bunch of model melodies that they could have used, but they chose these ones. And so there's 11, actually, because there's the hymn, and then there's the Theotokion, the hymn to the Theotokos, that just kind of goes with it. So there's 22 of those that use the same melody, and then obviously in the other books, there are many, many other hymns that use that same melody. Did you catch Father John coming out quietly and blessing you? Okay. So as I said before, the deacon came out, and that was the last time we would see him during Matins. But as a matter of fact, in the fuller Matin service, there are litanies and there are some petitions and some actions that come after the doxology and before the Divine Liturgy. But in parishes, for the reasons of time, conserving time, some of those ending petitions and actions are done quietly in the altar. So what you saw Father John doing was saying, "Peace be to all." They're doing all that stuff inside, but he turned around, he gave us peace. We can kind of acknowledge it, but that's sort of like overlapping what we're doing so that we won't do it separately at the end of Matins. That's what that's happening, just so you know that. Now we're entering into one of the last sort of parts, not quite the last, but it's of Orthros, and it's called the praises or lauds. And the reason it's called that is because the word praise comes up a lot in the Psalms. It's built on Psalms 148, 149, and 150. And after we sing some psalm verses, we interpolate some hymns. As today is completely about the resurrection, all the hymns will be, the theme will be the resurrection. Next week, as I said, we'll be also celebrating St. Demetrius. So when we come to the lauds next week, there will be maybe like four that deal with the resurrection, and then four for the celebrated Saint Demetrius. So that happens quite often. But today it's purely the resurrection. So now we're going to do the lauds. So there will be two more lauds hymns, but today for time considerations we're going to pass over them. And now this next part is called the Eothinon glory, or the glory, the hymn that starts with the verse, "Glory to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And again, this is one of those 11 that is related to the Ex Apostilarion, and it's related to the Gospel reading. If you were here for the Gospel reading, you will remember some of the themes. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. She saw two angels. They told her, "The Lord's not here." She turned around. She saw the Lord, but didn't realize it was him. Thought it was a gardener. And then he said, "Don't touch me. I haven't, gone to my Father yet." So something from there is going to be mentioned in this next hymn, again written by that emperor. It will elucidate the Matins Gospel. And then right after that, we will go into the Great Doxology. And then the Great Doxology is actually part of the Matins service. Some people, we grew up thinking that the Divine Liturgy starts with the Doxology. Actually, the Matins service ends with the Great Doxology. There are some petitions, litanies, and a dismissal that the priests did quietly inside to save time. So right after the doxology, we will begin the Divine Liturgy. So that ends the presentation.